Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast.
Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to season 5 of Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And today we have someone very, very special, a fan favorite, someone who has come on now. I believe you've been on every season one, but this is your second season coming on as season opener. So we are so delighted to have on with us Wiccan High Priest and co-owner of Pentagram in Salem, Timothy Regan. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Yay, Tim Regan.
I'm so excited. Thank you. I think it's great. I can't believe 5 seasons, and I've been on a few now, and I have so many people that come in and they're like, we heard you on the podcast, and we love Beth, we love Amelia, and they crowd in here and come in all the time. So ooh, yeah, thank you.
Yay. So how's your summer going?
It's going really, really well. Really, really well. Now that a lot of the COVID restrictions have lifted, it's the shop is just booming. We're having a good time. The only downside is it's been so busy that I haven't gone to the beach once this year. So that's a big bummer.
Well, there seem to be sharks all over the place now. Ooh. So I don't think it's that big. Like it stinks that you can't like lay out in the sand, but I wouldn't go in the ocean right now.
Yeah, no.
Well, I got to tell you, I live 4 minutes from the ocean, and I haven't been to the ocean yet this year either.
Oh, it just so stinks. It's like my favorite thing to do. It's like, I don't know if you guys have beach pizza around where you are, but when I go to like Hampton Beach or Salisbury Beach, which isn't my favorite, but they have Tripoli's there, and I could eat beach pizza and hang out on the beach all day. Like, it's just one of my favorite things. So
I am in August every year. I like to go up to Wollaston Beach in Quincy, and I get a big bucket of fried clams from Tony's, and I sit on the seawall and I eat them, and I look at the water and I watch the boats, and nothing bothers me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like my happy place that I go to if I can't sleep at night and I just need like a calm spot. Like that's what I envision.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I live close to the water, but it's not really beach type. I mean, it is the ocean, but it's all rocky, so it's not like you can lay out on it. But late at night,
we live in New England. They're all rocky beaches.
I know. These are really rocky, though. Like you need to have, you know, like
water shoes.
Yeah. Yep. But I sit out there every full moon and I just stare at the moon as it like glistens across the water. And I've learned how to scry, which is a form of like opening up your mind and being able to see images. And I'm not a visual person at all.
Right.
But doing it, I've really connected to scrying into the ocean with the moonlight. It's really beautiful.
Whoa, that's awesome. I want to like take in that image for a minute. That's great.
It's amazing. I literally walk to where the House of Seven Gables is, and there's this little like inlet that goes out to the water where you can sit on a bench there. And the ocean, it just is very still with light waves. And especially at high tide. And when the moon hits it, you get all of these images. And I'm not even sure if I'm seeing the images in the water through the reflection or if it's in my mind's eye projected onto the water. Whatever it is, I've never been clairaudient. I've never, clairvoyant rather, I'm clairaudient. So I've never seen things until I started doing this. And it's pretty impactful. I'm not sure how to interpret everything because it's not something I'm super familiar with just yet. But it relaxes me too. Like it puts me into a really calm state.
Whoa. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing what the ocean can do for you, right?
Absolutely.
What's the saying that the cure for anything is salt water, either salt tears, water, sweat, or the ocean?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Well, that's great. And I'm so happy business is going well for you. I took a friend up there probably a month and a half ago now. And you were on the show because I used to get readings from you and I thought you were the best. So that's why we invited you on at the beginning. And I will say, I still stand by that. I still stand by the Tim's the best. But I will say, I have a second best now. And it is Carol at your store. Phenomenal. It was like one of the best readings I've ever had. She was just like pulling stuff out of thin air. And I was just speechless.
Yeah.
And then like I walked down to the counter with you and I was like, oh, she's really good.
Yeah.
And like I'm kind of like a psychic addict. Like probably have talked to too many psychics in my life. Very interested in, you know, what you guys do.
Right.
And she just like little details. I told her nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And she knew places. She knew names. She was just like all over. It was incredible. It was really, yeah. really good.
We do a really good screening process with all of our psychics. They have to do three readings for us, one for me, one for Leanne, and then one for one of our other psychics. And if all three of us are in agreement, it's a go. So they have to pass three people. And anybody who's doing mediumship, really, that's a very like strong, intense program that we have to make sure that they're capable of doing that type of service for people. Because not everybody can, but a lot of people say they can.
Yeah, I was really blown away. I picked up Leanne's book while I was there.
Yay. I'm
still working my way through it. Her tea leaf reading book, which is yep. incredible. It's something I've always been very interested in, reading leaves. And so another book I got up there was, it's called Italian Folk Magic by Mary Grace Farron. Farron? Mm-hmm. And it is very cool. I really liked it. And yeah. I especially liked it because there was a section on it on the evil eye and what to do if you are cursed with the malogia. And so now we did the oil drops on our heads, me and my husband, and it actually turned out that he had it more than I did, which we were very surprised about. And now we sleep with like scissors under our beds. Yeah. In like addition to like all the other like woo-woo Amelia things that go on in our home. Now there's that too. And he always kind of like laughs about how we have scissors under our bed, or like whenever we need scissors, he's like, no scissors. Where are they? Oh, my wife put them under the bed. So, but so I'm very interested in the evil eye, in talking about the evil eye. After this happened, I watched a woman give me the evil eye, which was like literally like the woo. And just like, I guess I've been thinking a lot about like energy in general, right? Which I kind of always am. Mm-hmm. A little more. I started acupuncture and like she was going off to me about all the energy and like just everything. I found it very interesting. So I was hoping you could answer some questions and kind of talk about the evil eye a little more. I know we've touched on it previously, but just like a little more in depth this time. And yeah. something I'm extra interested in. So you can give the evil eye by accident, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like I believe the woman who gave it to me, I was in between acting coaches. I didn't know who I was going to pick. Mm-hmm. And one woman had kind of reached out to me a few times. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to go with this other woman. And she seemed very offended. And through like the weirdness of the universe, I've never heard of this person. I had never heard of her acting school, anything like that. 2 days later, I had to go to a belly dance show at her school. And I saw her there. And I watched her give me the evil eye.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang it. And like, I went home and I'm like rubbing myself down with salt and like mm-hmm. everything to get rid of it. And I think I did a good job. But I don't think she like meant to curse me, right? I think she was frustrated. She had sent me kind of a passive aggressive email. I knew she wasn't happy. I like going in there was very nervous. So how do you tell the difference between when someone gives you an evil eye mm-hmm. or when someone gives you a curse?
A curse is an intentional thing. Mm-hmm. And it is something that somebody has to perform an act of magic that is intentional. So I always talk about magic and people like, or spellcraft, is probably a better term for it. And people like to talk about how spellcraft is purely intention. And it's not. There is signatures and energies to ingredients and things that you use and actions that you take. And that's what you would do if you were hexing or cursing somebody. You would be using specific items that may be like sympathetic magic, representing the person and then causing that item to be buried in a cemetery, to be burnt in a fire, to do something ritualistic to put the intention using the signature of the items. The malocchia or the evil eye is, everybody looks at it as Italian or Mediterranean, and it does, the symbol of the evil eye, like the charms, it actually originates from Turkey. And the belief in the malocchia or the idea of the malocchia, it could be somebody that you work with that is jealous and is not saying, they could be nice to your face. And in their mind, they're wishing you ill. So the malocchia is not something that you can really, it's not a practice. It is the intention of the person projecting their negative thought process on you. And unfortunately, it happens a lot with friendships. When you're in a really good friendship and you're very excited, and hopefully, you know, this isn't your clutch five friend, you know what I mean? But an acquaintance or a friend sees you getting a promotion, or you just buy a brand new car, or you buy a house, or you do something great. And there's a bit of jealousy in there, even though they're patting you on the back and cheering you along. There's that jealousy that manifests into your life because they're focusing on how you don't deserve that, or they deserve it more in their mind. And it's not intentional, but that type of energy perpetuates in the person. That's one form of it. The other part of it is people can cast the evil eye or put the malocchio on somebody, which is why we have charms and talismans to prevent it intentionally. And to me, it's kind of a two-way street. You have the curse, and then you have the unintentional malocchio, and then you have an intentional malocchio or intentional evil eye. So those are really the three different types, in my opinion, of how people can project that type of negative power or energy towards you. And luckily, there are ancient techniques that have worked to detect the malocchio, the oil on the head, or the oil in a bowl of water, and seeing how many, if it blobs together, if it separates, can be indicative of somebody who has the malocchio. And there are great techniques of removing it. Most of them are passed from female to female on Christmas Eve. And they are only ever passed on Christmas Eve between females. And it's not an easy thing to remember. And it's not something that's ever written down. So it's something that you would have to get from somebody who practices stregeria, or somebody that has a grandmother that used to remove the evil eye or the malocchio. And you have to remember all of the prayers and everything that has to be done. And it's in Italian. And you have to memorize the entire thing on that one day. But it is a very magical technique. There is many ways of removing it, though. Leanne, my business partner, her family used to, after you drop the oil into the bowl of water to predict whether they have the malocchio, you then take iron scissors, which I also wanted to mention to you, Amelia. The scissors that are under your bed must be iron. Iron is the metal of Mars, and Mars is that planet of strength. That's why most cemeteries are surrounded by iron fences to prevent spirits from exiting the cemetery. The same thing with coffin nails are made out of iron. So if you want to carry a charm, you would carry coffin nails that are made out of iron to protect you.
That's crazy. I thought that it was just because iron is strong and cheap.
Yeah, it is. It is strong and cheap, but it is the metal of Mars, and everything kind of goes back to planetary stuff in a lot of ways.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And the scissors over the door actually came from a folklore based on preventing witches from entering churches, and they would put iron scissors over the entrance of the church in the vestibule before you get into the actual chapel or church area, the sanctum sanctorum, and a witch would not be able to pass through those scissors over the door. So I actually have scissors in my windows. I have coffin nails in my windows. I have scissors under my bed. I also have witch bottles, which are the European version of magic that would be protective magic.
What is a witch bottle?
A witch bottle is made up of items that could hurt, harm, stab negative energies, spirits that are coming towards you. But it also has the signature of you in it. Traditionally, witch bottles have, you know, urine or blood of the owner of them.
Oh my goodness.
And then they're they're filled with noxious herbs and shards of glass and razors and nails and screws, and you seal it and you never let it see the light of day. Most people plant them outside their house. Some people put them under their bed, but it's not something that you want other people to see. And the reason that you have those,
I can't imagine why the way you described it. you know, Beth's got it in her kitchen, like right on the kitchen table. You know, the bottle of her blood with some glass and like.
Yeah, but the thing is, you want to try to make the spirit or the negative energies attracted to it because it has your signature in it. Your person is in that bottle, and it should be destroyed when it hits that bottle, because it has all of the sharp implements and objects that are in there that will destroy whatever it is that's trying to hurt you. So you use your blood, urine, saliva, whatever it is, and it doesn't have to be filled with it. I mean, just a few drops or whatever. And when a curse is sent your way, when a negative spirit is sent your way, it's attracted to that because it has your signature, and then it's destroyed by the sharp implements inside the bottle.
I think it should have poison ivy in it.
Ugh,
that to me would be a great thing to get in a bottle and like, nope, anything that gets in that bottle is not getting out without a nasty rash.
I can't even look at poison ivy without getting it.
Yeah, tis the season, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had mentioned that witches wouldn't be able to come into the chapel because of the iron scissors, and yet you are a witch and you have your whole house decorated and protected with iron stuffs here and there. How does that work for you?
I look at it through the lens of a witch, and I think what they were really trying to do was prevent what they thought witches were, which is negative workers or cursing people and that sort of thing. So anybody that had a negative spirit or entity or energy about them would not be able to cross that threshold.
Okay.
I don't view witches as being negative or evil. It's more their interpretation of what witches were. So for me, I'm as a witch, using iron is connecting to the planet Mars. And when I put those things in my home, I invoke the protection of Mars using the intelligence and spirit names of Mars and kind of consecrate them or bless them and ask those spirits of Mars, or more importantly, the intelligences of Mars, to protect and use those as a warding in my home.
So to still keep out the negative energy.
The negative, not the witches. Because a lot of witches come to my home.
And I was going to say, you don't seem to have a drop of negative energy about you. So I think that you would probably be able to pass through very freely.
I'm a Taurus. I can sun sign Taurus. I'm very laid back until I get pushed too far. And then I can probably be a bit, malefic. So
what are things like everyday people can do to stop from getting this when they're just out and about? Like in the news right now, you hear about how negative people are all the time, right? Like people are acting out on airplanes. People are acting out in restaurants. People are just angry. The internet is like the most toxic place in the world right now. If you go on Facebook or Twitter, it's just so much negativity. And how do you prevent yourself from getting this negativity on you? And how do you prevent yourself from getting the malocchia?
I'm a firm believer in cleanse regularly. So when you're going about your day and you're walking around and people are projecting their negative thoughts, their negative feelings, and even just their own personal negativity, somebody loses their phone and they're in a bad place that day, all of a sudden that kind of...
Why? Do you know somebody that happened to?
What if they lose two phones in one day?
Two phones in one day. That negativity kind of expands. If you look at it like an aura, your aura fills a room. So if you're in a bad place, that negative energy fills that room. So cleansing away and washing away that negativity before you go to bed is actually very, very crucial. When you go into that alpha state of mind at night, it kind of opens up your subconscious. It opens up your psychic mind. And if you don't cleanse that away, it's seeping into you. And it's kind of, when you swim in that river of toxicity, you become toxic. And when you're going to sleep, it's going to potentially create negative nightmares and negative feelings the next day. And if you're in bed with somebody else, it could cause issues with their day. So what I tell people to do is cleanse regularly, especially at night before you go to bed. Just a nice warm shower with a loofah that has a little bit of sea salt in it, or kosher salt, not iodized salt, to kind of wash away that negativity. And I'm a firm believer in using olive oil to anoint yourself, or a protection oil to anoint yourself to prevent anything from seeping in that's negative. So those are the best things for preventing things in dream state or in sleep state that could perpetuate negative days the following day or hurt somebody else's feelings or whatever. Going about your day, I think that everybody should have a personal ward or protective talisman. And it can be anything that you feel you want to wear. So it could be a piece of jewelry. It could be iron cross nails, which I carry in my pocket every day. And you want to cleanse that item by placing it in some salt water. I like to charge it by sunlight because Sol Invictus, that solar energy is really good with destroying darkness and negativity. After cleansing it, after letting it sit in the sunlight, I hold it in my hand and I say a prayer of some sort of protection to kind of instill that piece of jewelry or charm to protect me throughout the day. And they don't last forever. I like to do every solstice and equinox, I like to recharge the wards in my home, but also the wards that I wear. And I know not everybody can see them, but I carry wards in my pocket literally every day. And I always put them in bags that are red for Mars, the planet of strength and defense. And that's literally the best thing you can do. Now, if you don't wear jewelry, the other really good thing that you could do is simple meditation, where you visualize yourself after being in a meditative state. You visualize yourself surrounded in a white, kind of like egg shape that goes around your entire body, or a blue egg shape that goes around your entire body. And while you're visualizing that, kind of saying to yourself, this is a protective force field from people's negative energy, people's negative influences in my life, so that you're putting up that ward on a regular basis.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So when I cleanse things, I do it under the full moon. Mm-hmm. Should I be doing it under the sun?
It really depends on what you're doing. I like to use the sun for protection, and I like to use the sun for healing. When I'm doing something with the moon, it's for intuition, fertility, psychic ability, compassion, self-love. It depends on really what you're doing. The moon has a magnetism to it that draws things in, whereas the sun breaks and destroys and distributes. So it's about vitality, whereas the moon is more about comforting and opening you up. So it depends on what you're doing.
I should be doing it in the sun.
It's a mixed bag. Some people would say you always do it under the moonlight. Some people would say you always do it under the sunlight. I find that using both is really important. The other cool thing is, if you really want to increase the power of a talisman, when it's thundering and lightning out, putting it outside in the lightning, because it increases that electromagnetic energy within your talisman. So that's something I also do mostly with my ritual tools. So my Athami, my wand, my altar pentacle, when it's lightning out, I put it outside.
But what I'm also curious about, sometimes I get very concerned someone has cast a curse on me. And what is a way that I could know definitively, and our listeners could know definitively, if someone puts a hex on you?
More often than not, nobody has done an actual hex or curse upon you. Most of the time, it is the Malokia. That being said, do curses exist? Do hexes exist? Absolutely. To quote, and I shouldn't say quote, but to talk about what are some of the symptoms of hexes or curses or psychic attack, Dion Fortune, who was a very famous author who wrote Psychic Self-Defense.
I'm reading it right now.
It's an amazing book. I absolutely love it. The only thing I do criticize is when people read it, it was written in the 1920s. You have to understand the time period it was written in, because she is rather discriminatory against Mediterranean people, people of color, very much so. And regardless of her ignorance on all of that, she does a really good job at explaining some of the symptoms. I like to tell people, if you start smelling strange smells around you on a regular basis that are not good smells, that's a symptom. If you are having nightmares that are nonstop, and it's not like, oh, I had a nightmare one night and then the next night it was a dream and it was, no, you need to have consistent, at least 3 or 4 days of consistent nightmares. If the milk in your house spoils, and I know both Amelia and I don't drink milk from animals, but if you are a milk drinker, if the milk in your house spoils before the expiration date, that is a symptom. If you are finding that money is missing on a regular basis, and I'm not talking large sums of money, but actual cash is missing in places that you had it, that is a symptom. There are several symptoms that seem a little wacky and seem a little crazy, but they are symptoms of some form of either psychic attack or curse. The one thing that I really have to stress, though, curses are not done regularly by most practitioners of real magic. We have a checks and balances type of understanding with the universe. That does not mean that it's not something that's ever done, but it has to be done for a really good reason. If you bumped into somebody at work accidentally and they dropped all their papers. I highly doubt that a real true practitioner of the occult or of magic would be cursing you over something like that. It would have to be a really serious situation. Most of the time it is the malocchio or the evil eye. And that's probably 99% of the time. That does not mean they don't happen, but there are ways of protecting yourself. The same ways that you would protect yourself from the malocchio would be putting up those wards. And also personal wards on your body are important, but wards in your home are just as important. If you infect your home, but you have ward, if your home is infected, but you have personal wards on, it's still going to seep into your life in some way if it's in your home, and vice versa. Your home is protected, but you're not protected. Something is going to go awry with that. So I do believe personal wards and also wards in your home are very, very important. Sprinkling salt in every window and leaving a line of salt in your windows, putting salt under your welcome mat, any entrance to your home, anointing your mirrors and doors and windows with protection oil or olive oil, using a symbol of your religion, whether it's a pentacle or a pentagram, or it's a cross or a Star of David, those are symbols that have morphic resonance of protection and strength and power for many cultures, rather, and they help ward your home from negative energies.
And so you said people like, you know, practitioners of the occult, practitioners of magic, right? What if someone isn't a real practitioner of magic and isn't really involved with the occult, but they just like get a bee in their bonnet one day, or you're dating someone and they want that person, or, you know, they want to like ruin your relationship. They want to ruin your career. They want to make you gain a ton of weight. Mm-hmm. And they go online and they find out how to do it, and then they hex you. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Would it be as powerful? Because I imagine it would be possible if they really had that intention, right?
I actually think that's probably maybe even more powerful than an occultist or a witch doing a curse on somebody. And I will tell you why. And it's not ignorance is bliss or anything like that. When you are that riled up, when you have that much anger and rage living in you, and you project it towards a person using a spell, a curse, a hex to destroy somebody's life, you're putting all of your power and energy into that because you are extremely upset over it. And usually an occultist, we spend a lot of time meditating. We spend a lot of time connecting to the divine and spirits around us. We're not going to be the vengeful aggressors most of the time. But the people that don't know what they're doing and they go online and they look up a hex or a curse, they are putting all of their rage into hurting somebody. And that is a serious situation. People that don't know what they're doing with magic are playing with fire. Not that that means that you can't do something to help somebody or to heal somebody, but even those things, everything has a reaction. You know, if you look at Newton's laws, every action has an equal or opposite reaction. Every motion, something that you put into motion continues to be in motion. I mean, like there's all of these laws within magic, and even the seven, you know, the hermetic principles, like attracts like, the theory of contagions. When you put all of this stuff out there, you're going to bring it into your life as well.
So let's say someone, let's give the first example, because I honestly believe, you know, people say all is fair and love is more. And I believe that love makes people do insane things. Mm-hmm. So let's say the girl you really like is dating another man, right? And you just get really upset and you want to hex this man. What could then happen to you?
It could be a multitude of different things. Some of it is that be careful what you wish for thing. So you hex this person and all of a sudden that relationship blossoms in your life and they turn away from that other person and now they're attracted to you, but you find out they're abusive. You find out they're mentally unhealthy or unstable, and it could affect you that way. The other thing is it could prevent you from having a stable love life. You're causing destruction in somebody else's love life. It could cause your love life to fall apart. I mean, there's no real written law that one and one equals two when it comes to magic. The universe will dole out whatever it believes, and the spirits and gods will dole out whatever they believe just.
Okay. Good answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, and then my last question is, if someone has hexed you, what do you do about it?
There is many different rituals and practices used to removing hexes. In Lukumi and Santeria and the African diasporic traditions, they have rituals where they rub eggs on you and to put the negative curse into the egg. Or for the ones that do practice sacrifice, they use chickens and that sort of thing within their practice. There are rituals where you can create poppets or dolls and transfer the negative energy into that doll and then bury that doll and have a funeral for it to remove and kill that energy. A lot of times cleansing. My personal favorite one is actually something that I learned from a very famous and very sweet and dear friend of mine who is a practitioner of Strega. And it is bathing yourself in a sea salt bath, following the sea salt bath, anointing your every orifice on your body with the sign of the cross in olive oil, then getting a loaf of Italian bread, cutting a slice out of it, and then taking a glass and turning it upside down to kind of create a circle. So it almost looks like the host in Christianity or in Catholicism, creating the sign of the cross with an equal-armed cross with olive oil and then sprinkling salt on it and ingesting it. So you're cleansing your body, you're cleansing your spirit, you're cleansing your mind with that practice. And I do believe that that's a really good practice to do, even if you're not 100% sure that you've been cursed or hexed. I try to do it at least once a year and then keep my wards up and then redo my wards, home and personal wards, you know, every solstice and every equinox is what I do. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Sorry to start this off with such like a heavy topic, but.
Do you, Tim, ever feel that you have been cursed?
I know I have been cursed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate? I don't want to
create drama in the internet, but I've been told by the person who has cursed me that I have been cursed.
And have you been able to cleanse yourself of that curse?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. 100%. I believe that the power of the mind and the power of my intention and my will can overcome what anybody's going to throw at me. And I'm very well protected. So yes, I.
How long ago was this?
Not that long ago, maybe about a year ago.
Did it have to do with Pentagram?
I was going to say that. Did someone get jealous of your business?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah. Well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Glad you were able to shuck that hex. And
they actually cursed me to die. So that was, yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. No, it's okay. To be honest with you, I know that it didn't have an effect on me and we're doing great. So everything.
You guys are doing great.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't complain. I'm living my best life. So yeah.
Yay. And that's all we can really ask for, right?
Right.
Everybody just wants to live their best life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now I will say, and I know I probably shouldn't be, you never talk about magic. There's a saying and I'm going to say Magician's it's the mysteries line. Of the Sphinx. I believe it's the Mysteries of the Sphinx, and I may be misremembering what it's actually called, but it's to know, to will, to dare, to keep silent. When you do a magical working, you really, if you start running around and telling everybody, it's going to take power away from what you're doing. Power shared is power lost. I've told you this, I think, on a previous episode, where if you're about to buy a house, keep that between you and your partner and your realtor. Don't go around and telling everybody, because as soon as you start telling people, they start focusing on, oh, well, why are they getting a house? I wanted a house. Do they deserve a house? They didn't work that hard for. And then they're pushing the Malokia onto what you're doing or the evil eye onto what you're doing. And it could, you know, that perpetuates and builds and could destroy your opportunities. So you never really talk about magical workings that you do until they come to fruition.
Yeah. So it's never, I'm going to buy the house. It's come to my housewarming party.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And do that with everything, even when you're up for a promotion and your work or a job change or something that's going to better your life. Not that you shouldn't trust your friends, but the more people you're telling about it, the more likelihood somebody is going to be jealous of your advancement.
That happened to me and my husband. We were going to buy a house and that's why we bought this book, Italian Folk Magic, because when it fell through, I remembered what you said. And there were a few people I knew would have put it on us. Then we went and did it after it fell through.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Once now that you know that and you've removed it and you've done the scissors and you've done the oil and all of that, next time you're looking for a place or anything, just keep it between you and your husband and your realtor.
Yeah.
I have to say, I have never once felt like anybody gave me the evil eye, and I also don't feel like I've ever been cursed. I don't know. Maybe I'm
I don't think you've not, been cursed either.
Maybe I'm not observant. Maybe I don't interact with people enough that they would have that sort of negative feeling toward me. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think you've been cursed, but I do think that you've had the evil eye. I think we all have at one point or another. I think everyone has.
You don't think anyone's ever been jealous of you ever in your life over anything? Well,
but that doesn't mean they gave me the evil eye.
Yes, it does. That's what it is.
Yeah.
The evil eye is just jealousy.
Among other things, but that's a big part of it. Yeah.
It's jealousy, but it's not jealousy that's disgust. Like if I was jealous of you or we were doing something and I said, hey, I love that this is going on for you, but it's really bothering me because I really wanted this. Mm-hmm. It kind of destroys because to know, to will, to dare, keep silent. You're letting that out and you're not retaining it and projecting it. Whereas if I was like, hey, Beth, congratulations on that job. And I was your coworker that was up for that same, you know, same position. I'm harboring negative intention towards what you're doing. You know what I mean?
How I kind of tried to explain it to Paul, and you can tell me if this is the right way to explain it or not, Tim. It's the difference between jealousy and envy, right? Mm-hmm. So like I can see someone has something and I can be envious of it and be like, oh man, like that's a beautiful house. Like I wish I had a house like that. Like, but then you think like, I wonder how they got it. I wonder how I could get it. Whereas jealousy is like, they have a nice house. Screw them. They don't deserve it. And then it's like all on them is where right. You're throwing it. Absolutely. And you're like focused on that person with this negative intention. Absolutely. And I think that's the difference.
It is. It's very much so the difference. I think we can all want things in life and we can all desire things in life. But when you're starting to project negative things towards people because mm-hmm. of what they've achieved, that's where it goes awry.
Yes.
I think I've probably given the Malokia to somebody. You know what I mean? If I think back hard enough and you know, my 40 years, I'm sure I've given the Malokia to somebody unbeknownst to me. And I think we all do it. We just don't always see the ramifications of how it affects the person that you're projecting it on. But I think we've all felt those ramifications or mm-hmm. thought of them, but didn't, or have experienced something that's gone bad, but didn't realize why that had happened. Do you mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Can we turn to something a little bit more positive?
A little less heavy, if you will.
I'm really curious about palmistry.
Yeah.
You had mentioned back in our very first episode that you had been taught palmistry by a famous palmist person. Yeah. And so I was kind of curious a little bit about that. Cause I mean, we often see the idea of, you know, like you somebody stops you in the street or, sorry, nobody's ever stopped me in the street to look at my hand, but like,
people have done it to me.
Really?
Downtown crossing. Yes. Yes. And it's usually a scam. It's usually part of a scam, but I've had people in downtown crossing, like women grab me and pull out my hand and say, you need to come see me. You have something wrong with you.
You have a curse. Pay me $600 and I will say a prayer.
Yes. And I've only fallen for it twice.
Okay. Well, but I think more the idea like on TV, like it's portrayed as like somebody looks at your hand and they suddenly know everything about you, all about your future. What's up with that?
Palmistry is one of the older forms of divination and I practice it and absolutely love it. I studied with Alex Palermo, who is now deceased. He was the former owner of the Tremonti Room in Boston. Palmistry has a really interesting history. It was much more based in India and really stems from Hinduism and sidereal astrology. A lot of people like to say Alexander the Great, during his travels, picked up and brought astrology and palmistry into the Western world in a lot of ways. It's an ancient art that was originally in Hinduism, was used for health-related topics mostly. And it is very much so connected to the planets and the power of the planets, not necessarily the zodiac signs, but the power of the planets. Each point on your hand and the texture of your hand and the depth of the lines and the markings in your palm and in your lines in your hands and the shapes of your fingers do tell something about who you are. One of the things I love to tell people is they did a study on your hand and the heat that comes from different parts of your hand when you're in different moods. And the place between your thumb and index finger, that kind of like little fleshy area. Yep. Right here.
We're all grabbing it.
Yeah. This is one of the areas of Mars on your hand. When you're driving in a car and you get road rage, I just want you to look at that part of your hand. Obviously, keep your eyes on the road, but look at that part of your hand and you will see that it swells up a little bit and gets red. Okay. Whether that's because of nerve endings or blood vessels or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It still shows on your hand. Your hands show who you are as a person. And I do believe very much so that they can not only show the direction that your life is heading, but also talk a lot about your personality, your characteristics, potential health areas of concern.
This is actually very funny that Beth has brought this up. We did not talk about talking about this to you before the show, but over the weekend, I reconnected with an old friend and she has a husband and he is from India and his family practices Hinduism. Mm-hmm. And she was telling me how his father and all of his aunts and everything, they practice Vedic astrology and palmistry. She says her father-in-law always tells her he will never read her palm because he doesn't want to know.
Right.
He doesn't want to know that about her. And I was like, I kind of get it because like I never read my husband. I've never done his birth chart and I won't read his cards for him.
Right.
And because I don't want to know. Right. I just love him no matter what. Mm-hmm. And if there's something bad, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to. One thing I asked her husband, I didn't know if I was being like insensitive, but it really was something that really I was very interested in because it's very difficult to learn palmistry. It's very difficult to learn palmistry around the Boston area. It is like for me, like in business, you know, when you like go to shake people's hands and stuff, like, do you ever just like glance at someone?
I look at people's fingertips all really? The time. When somebody comes and sits down for a reading with me, mm-hmm. if they place their hands on the table, I immediately look at their nail beds and the shapes of their nails and their fingertips immediately, because it gives you a really good indicator of what the person is like, if they're going to be open to it. If you have really square nail beds or square fingers, there's a lot more earth, grounded, somewhat stubborn in your hand. Amelia, your nail bed is very, very rounded towards the base, but you do have square fingers. So you can be grounded and kind of not cranky, but curmudgeony. Yes, thank you. You could be a little bit difficult. You have very rounded, almost water-shaped fingertips, Beth, which can be very emotional, but you can also, based on your fingernail bed, it's very air. So the emotions are sometimes not what's seen first. It's the air side of you. It's that I'm going to think things through. I'm going to be intellectual. I'm going to be, you know, use my words. Whereas Amelia, you have a little bit more of a rounded down the bottom.
Tell me I'm more curmudgeon-y than Beth.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I do not. I don't know. Maybe it's just how my manicure is this week.
Pointed fingers are the ones that I tend to really conical shaped are the ones that I tend to be a little bit more concerned about. Because you think about it, when somebody like points a finger at you and it's usually one of those really pointed, yours are not very pointed, Beth.
No, but, I have fat fingers. I have
sausage fingers. But when they're pointed and it has a conical shape at the tip of the finger, it's very fiery. Not that fire is a bad thing, but if their pointer finger, which is their Jupiter finger or their Apollo finger is very, very pointed, I tend to be a little concerned with them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what would you be concerned about? That they're not going to be receptive to what you're saying, that they're going to be argumentative, that they're going to be just completely...
They know everything better than you will. They are not open to anything that you're going to say. And that they are usually very aggressive. Very aggressive.
Are you sure I don't have pointy fingers?
You do not. I mean, it's difficult to see over video. I know.
No, I don't have pointy fingers. Yeah. I have very fat, round fingers.
Yeah. But each finger relates to a different thing in your life. Your pointer finger is your Jupiter finger. So it has to do with career. It has to do with growth. It has to do with spirituality in a lot of ways. Your Saturn finger, which is my favorite thing, and I think I may have told you this story before, but the Saturn finger is your middle finger. And Saturn is that place of like boundaries and borders. And some people say karma. And I think it's really funny when you flip somebody the bird that you're kind of saying, may your karma return to you in some way. And I just think that that's really interesting.
That is interesting.
your Apollo finger, your sun finger, is all about love and art and creation and beauty in life. So it has to do with, that's why it's the, you know, wedding rings are worn on the Apollo finger in our country. And it relates to your love life and to that sort of thing. And then your pinky finger is your Mercury finger. So this has to do with your health, your communication style. It also has to do with your family communication and how you connect to your family in a lot of ways. And the one area that most people are interested in.
I was just going to ask about it.
Yeah. Over on the side, underneath your pinky, not on the front half of your palm, but on the side of your palm, these are your marriage lines. These are your long-term commitment relationship lines. And that's probably the area that people are the most interested in when you get a reading. That, and also a lot of people like to talk about being, they have intuition, they're empaths, even though I've heard lately that the Gen Zs are saying empath is a bad word. So I don't know if it is, but this area right here is the mound of the moon on your palm. This tells me about what type of caregiver you're going to be. And it's that the more fleshy it is, the more gentle, softer personality you're going to have and type of caregiver. But it also has a lot to do with your intuition. It has to do with your psychic ability. The more fleshy and moundy, the more well-rounded and open you are to that area. The more flat and kind of stiff or tough, the less open you are and the more of a parent that is more about rules and structure.
Ooh. Right. I'm all about rules and structure, but I appear to have a lot of squishiness.
And so it's really right here. If you go above, if you cut your palm in half,
yep.
The middle part of your palm in the circle in the center is called your plane of Mars. This is Mars and this is Mars. It's actually below this line. So you want to feel like right here.
Like right here?
Yep.
That looks kind of squishy.
It doesn't mound up though. So that's like if you turn your hand flat, when you read somebody's hand, you really want to look at the plane of their hand. Okay. And as you can see, this is really moundy. Yours is relatively, hold your hand up a little bit higher, Beth. You actually have a bigger mound of Venus, which is right where your thumb connects to your palm.
Okay.
Then you do mound of moon. Amelia, can I see yours one more time?
Yes.
Yours is a little flat as well. It doesn't mean anything bad. It just means there's areas of development there for you. But your Venus is really big too. You both actually have really large Venus. Whereas mine, I don't know if you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
My mound of the moon is bigger than my mound of Venus.
So what's the Venus one about?
Venus is the planet of magnetism. It's the things that draw into your life, but it's also about your romantic life, what type of lover, what type of passionate type of person you would be. The coolest thing, which is I'm sure most of your listeners will get a kick out of, if you have a line that runs from between your pointer finger and your middle finger, and it runs over between your pinky finger and your ring finger, it's called a girdle of Venus. Not many people have them. And this is the mark on the hand where you would see if that person was like kinky and wild in bed.
I don't have one of those.
I see Amelia smiling. So she probably has one.
Neither confirm or deny that. Okay. So anyway, so what line would you look at for children?
So children, I would look any, so there's a line that runs from your Mercury finger, your pinky finger that runs down into the middle of your palm. I would look there, but I would also look at your heart line, which is right here. And I would look at the intersection between the two of them to see how many lines break away from it. For me, if it's a wavy line that breaks away from it, it means most likely female children. If it's a solid straight line, more male children. But I will warn you, when you look at somebody's palm, regardless of how many lines or marks there are, some of those children might not have been brought to full birth.
Okay.
So there could be miscarriages that show there, or there could be abortions, so on and so forth, lost children.
All right. Well, I have two kids and I have no line.
I can almost guarantee you if you took a flashlight, you could probably see something. The lines are so, when I read somebody's palm, I just went to
look for my phone for the flashlight.
Beth lost two phones today.
I didn't lose them. Somebody took
them. Our listeners don't know. Beth was in a meeting and someone walked away with both of her phones.
Yeah. It's one of my coworkers, but I know where they are. They're just not with me.
And then
I need to use a flashlight and you say that there's going to be a line that runs from pretty much between my pinky and ring finger down to the middle of my hand. I'm telling you, dude, there's no line.
not everybody's going to have the same line, but this is the area that you would look for it. So where you have your marks of relationships, it's kind of like in this area, which is called your mound of Mercury. And you would want to look for if there is a line that runs straight down, and also the connection to the heart line.
Yeah. If I have two lines that run straight down and they're intertwined with each other, does that mean I will have twins?
Nope, that's called what's called that's called a chain mark or a chain line. Each line, everybody wants to know the length of the lifeline and all of that. It means jack. It really does. The length of the lifeline. I mean, I shouldn't say it means jack. It's not as important as the depth, the thickness, the shape, the type of line. There is, you know, is there a triangle in it? Is there islands? Is there chaining? Is there breaks? Is really more indicative of what you're looking for rather than the length of a line or if there's a line at all.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Am I supposed to look at my left hand or my right hand?
So this is a huge debate in palmistry. I will tell you the way I perceive it.
Okay.
I look left hand for anything that has to do with the past or matters of the heart. I look at the right hand that has anything to do with the future or things that you intellectualize.
Okay. So past and heart, future, smart.
Yep.
Gotcha. Yep.
I love how you put rhymes to everything I say. That's amazing.
I'm sorry.
No, I love it.
You know, and it's funny. Earlier you were like, oh yeah, your listeners will get a kick out of this. I forgot that we do this for other people to listen to. I'm having so much fun talking with you.
I love doing this. I have to tell you, people come in and they're like, ghost hunting in New England. I heard you on that. And you talk about astrology. Do you do astrology? I've had so many customers that have booked me because of this show. And
good.
I, you know, listen to it sometimes just to be like, you know, I love anytime that you guys have a psychic on or you have going, you're talking about stories. What was the one you did a whole story on hauntings? Was it in DC? Which was like one of my favorite ones, or where you discuss different hauntings in DC.
Yes. Yep.
That was
in haunted government buildings.
Government buildings. That's what it was. Yep. I loved that episode. Loved, loved, loved that episode. And I had a customer that came in, I believe her name was Stephanie, and we did a shout out to her on the last one.
Yes.
She came back in and we had a whole conversation about that episode.
Oh,
and
good.
I had listened to it a week before and I was able to like, oh yeah. And did you remember when she said this? I was like, amazing.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you. And so speaking of I'm sorry, Beth, did you have any last questions on palmistry?
I have about a bajillion, but basically I think it's one of those things I just have to come up to Pentagram and like sit down and bring you a cup of coffee and be like, let's talk about palmistry.
I actually have, and I will send it to the two of you. I taught a 4-hour long lecture with a fellow witch and psychic, Christine Linehan, at a shop in New Bedford. And I have the whole slideshow keynote thing that I will send over to the two of you. And it literally gives you all the details of each line, the meanings, the markings, all of it.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. All right.
Very cool. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So Amelia and I will do practice readings on our own hands and then we'll come see you and you can tell us how good we did.
And you should also get, and I'm not trying to promote writing on your body in any way, but fine tipped Sharpie markers really help you if you're trying to locate lines and like lightly drawing on your hand. You won't be able to see the chaining and the markings of the line, but it will give you the depth and the thickness of the line. So you can start with that. But really the first thing you want to look at is the texture of the skin and the mounds are the things that I always look for in the shapes of the hand. Because the hands, they're all related to elemental shapes. So if you have a square palm, it's earth. If you have a watery palm, it's this. If it's an air palm, it's very long and skinny. I mean, those are the things that are the most easily accessible when you're meeting somebody.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
That was easy. Okay. So go ahead, Amelia. What else did you want to talk about?
So I was re-listening to some predictions from previous episodes. And one really, really, really stood out to me. And I think it will catch Beth by surprise. This is the one I really picked out. Back in season, I want to say like 3 or something, you said that Beth would be traveling to the British Isles in the coming months. And anyone could say that about Beth, right? Because Beth loves to go to Ireland. But one thing that really got to me that you said is you said, you're going to book it and it's going to seem like it's not going to happen. And then within a couple of days, it's going to be fine. And this really happened is that Beth booked a trip to Ireland And she was texting me like, I'm going to cancel it. Like, and she called the place. You called the place. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you can't cancel it. You have to wait a certain amount of time and then we'll let you cancel and blah, blah, blah. And what was it? Like 3 days later, the borders open. So it was pretty much exactly what Tim said. It was like Beth booked it, wanted to cancel it, was worried it wasn't going to happen. And then right after that is when it was like, you'll be able to go, like, if you're, you know, have this kind of stuff, but we're opening up a little bit. So okay. I thought that was very interesting.
Well, I have since canceled that trip to Ireland and booked a trip to Mexico in its place.
Dang it. Well, there you go.
So, you know, Mexico in August, it should be awesome.
Yeah. Actually, I have one, and I hope it's okay to discuss this, Beth. Mm-hmm. When we did your chart for your birthday on, I think that was last season, season four, right?
Yep. Yep.
We had discussed some financial issues with co-owned bank accounts. And you were like, I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. And I want to say it was maybe a week later.
It was the next day.
You had a really weird conjunction on, and possibly it might have even been a transit. I don't remember off the top of my head. And you were like, I don't really foresee that happening. And you sent me a message. And we don't all talk all that often other than when you stop mm-hmm. in or when we do one of mm-hmm. these, you know, one of these episodes. And you were like, okay, this may sound crazy, but somebody hacked my account and or something and stole money out of my account.
It was right after.
Yeah. It was like the next day I got a text message that they had put a hold on my account because some NIN consulting was trying to charge me a penny. And they're like, nah, this looks like a scam. And it's the account that I have with my husband. It's the joint account. And I'm like,
yeah,
you had nail on the head every time.
Well, that isn't even me. That's not psychic. That's not me using intuition. That, I mean, I do sometimes, you know, put some intuitive aspects into what mm-hmm. I do a chart. But you had some eighth house stuff that was going on, which is about debt. And I want to say that Venus was conjunct. No, I'm sorry. You had a transit that connected from the seventh house. I don't recall right off the top of my head, but that whole debt area of your chart was connected to your partnership and somehow, and I don't remember what it was exactly. And I remember telling you, be careful, something coming up where there is financial mm-hmm. issues and possible loss or something to do with co-managed bank accounts that could be coming up for you within a shorter period of time. And you were like, oh, okay, we'll see where that goes. And all I remember is you calling me or messaging me the next day or whenever it was.
Mm-hmm. It was right after. Yeah. It was right after.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, it was the power of astrology, man. It's there. You know,
another tally mark in why Tim Regan is definitely the best guy to go see if you want some sort of insight into what's going on.
Any insight. Yeah, yeah. It's always very spot on and just great. And you had also discussed in one of mine about me being on some kind of like pedestal you saw and some award. And I ended up getting an award later this year. And I was thinking about it. And when you were talking about it, I was like, oh, well, like I was on the news a few times and blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's it. Like just like trying to draw something. And then from that, I did get recognized and I got this award and a lot of people did start reaching out to me because of it. And I was given it to by people who normally kind of like look over me and think I'm like kind of like the weirdo. And, you know, I was very surprised when I got it. I was very, very surprised. I did not think they would be recognizing me. And it was great. And so I was going back through all the episodes listening this morning. I was like, oh, that's what it was. He knew it. So it was very exciting. It's always very exciting. So anyway, not to put you on the spot, but do you predict anything for us coming up?
I'm going to be honest with you, Amelia, I don't know why, but I don't know if I've said this to you before, but this is what I hear. There is some other type of business venture that is not your normal business that I feel like is going to be growing or you're going to be sprouting out into in some way. And I don't know if we've had a conversation about this on the show before, but I get this very strong feeling of something not 100% positive because of, I don't know if it's going to take your time away from your kind of parent mother business, but there's something else that I think you're going to be doing on the side. Just make sure you're balancing your time the right way, or you're balancing what you're doing the right way. Just because I kind of get, and it doesn't seem it's the same type of business. It's something slightly different that I feel like whatever that is, there's a feeling of burning the candle at both ends. So just make sure that you're really figuring out a schedule to do that in some way where you can balance yourself.
And I will say right now that I am waiting to hear on that. I know exactly what you're talking about. I am waiting to hear on it. And I have been making a very concerted effort in case it happens. I don't know if it's going to happen. In case it happens, to have my business staffed and kind of have things like sorted out.
I do think it will, because I kind of get the feeling as we get into, honestly, it feels like a little bit more towards 2022, a little, I want to say, I feel really positive about it around February time. But I will tell you, be careful burning that candle at both ends. It just seems like it may be a bit much, but I do feel positive about whatever this venture is. I just don't want to see your other business suffer in any way. So you really need to make sure that you have a strong grounding with the people that you have there. And I'm sure you'll do that. You're very diligent with all of that kind of stuff, but make sure that they're very well trained and you're not being pulled in two different directions. I feel all relatively positive with Beth.
Excellent. I don't need to hear anything else, though. It's all good. It's all good.
The only one thing that I will say to you is there's some type of new procedural thing that I get, and it feels very tech related. And I don't know if how this affects your career or business, but there's something very technical that I feel like is going to be brought into your day-to-day life or connected to your day-to-day life that just doesn't feel as though it's accurately doing what it's supposed to for your job. But I feel like it's a quick fix. So it doesn't seem as though it's anything super chaotic.
All good things.
Yeah, I actually feel really good about it. The only other thing that I would say is I get something around your left ankle, left foot.
My left foot is so itchy right now. I have been scratching it, like, I'm not even kidding, the whole time we've been on here.
Yeah, there's something, I just get left ankle, left foot. There's something going on there. And I don't know, I mean, it could be nothing, but I'm very drawn to that area on your body right now for some reason.
Well, that's where I have thunder and lightning's tattoos. And I have to get a halo for lightning because,
best cat.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was very traumatic. Anyway, so yeah, I've been sitting here the whole time, like scratching my foot.
Maybe I'm drawn to it because of the spirit connection. I don't know. I'm just drawn to it.
Yeah.
There's something with your left foot that I'm drawn to.
Okay.
Ooh. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you see me making any big purchases soon?
I think you're going to have to make a bigger purchase relatively soon. I'm going to say yes. 27th. I don't know why I hear 27. So keep an eye out for 27. So I'm going to assume it's July 27th. And I also hear something about August 8th. And I don't know what either of those mean. But I do get a very positive feeling more towards August 8th. The 27th feels like it's stressful, but it has something to do with a purchase.
So when you say big purchase, are we talking about new refrigerator big purchase or?
I'm not allowed to talk about it. I'm not allowed to talk about it.
You're learning.
Tim said we're not allowed to talk about these things.
You're learning.
Well, no, I was asking him. Like, is he talking big purchase like a new refrigerator or big purchase like a yacht?
Whatever happens on the 8th of August or right around the 8th of August, I'm not hearing specific details about it, but the feeling I get from it would be like a yacht type feeling. Like it's a big ticket item. It's not the 27th. I don't know why I get this feeling of being really pumped and then it not necessarily being exactly what you want to hear, but it's still positive. So I don't understand it completely.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Have I already found this item? Or are we going to find it later?
This is the most intense look he's had as he's listening.
I think that you've already found this item, and I don't know why, and this is going to sound really crazy, but I keep hearing vegetables, and I have no idea what that's about. And
Amelia does love vegetables.
Can you edit this?
God knows I love vegetables.
Well, I probably shouldn't even be asking this.
We can edit out anything you say. Edit that out.
Edit it out. Yeah, that's fine.
I want
you know, Amelia might be convinced to fly out there. There was something she was trying to get me to fly out and look at in Vegas, but we couldn't get cheap enough tickets.
Yeah.
We weren't paying like
Haunted Object Museum.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Very, yeah, very cool.
I'm on a big haunted object kick.
Yeah, that's very cool. We have people that sometimes bring in haunted objects to the store and they're like, tell me, or cursed objects or things that they think are evil or whatever.
Are you like, please take that out of my store?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't necessarily want that in here. Thank you. No. Yeah. But we do get a lot of people that want psychometry for items or items of loved ones that have passed over. And I don't always want to touch stuff that people bring. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are always like, you know, when they want a mediumship reading, do you want me to bring pictures or an item? I'm like, no, I'd rather you're not. I'd rather it be, you know, pure and clear and just whatever I hear.
I have a question for you, Tim. I'm asking a lot of people this question. This is going to be my question of the season. And it is, when dealing with a haunted and or cursed object, would you ever keep one in your house?
Never.
I feel the same way.
Never.
Not only that, I don't know how to say this because we are going to be talking to some people who do have objects in their home later this season. I am very hesitant. First of all, I would not do that. Second of all, I believe in like keeping it outside, right? Yeah. Like having another shed. Like if you want to have a haunted objects collection and you know what you're doing with it, you know what you're doing. Like you keep it out in the shed, you keep it outside your house. I don't believe in bringing them into the home. But I'm kind of hesitant about people who do.
Yeah. I would wonder what has gone on in their life since owning the object. But there are a lot of people that love creepy, you know, especially within the witch world and the occult world. They love the oogie boogie and the creepy and this and all of that stuff. And I'm just like, I don't know, maybe I love the earth and running around with flowers and like, you know, mm-hmm. like I love very natural things. And that's what draws me to this. I don't know if I'd want something that potentially could do something or cause something or even put the thought in my mind. So that I'm always second guessing what's going on with this object. Do you know what I mean? Whether mm-hmm. it's cursed or haunted or not, why would I want it around me? You know what I mean? If it's right. going to disrupt the natural order of things in my home. I don't think I would bring it in. Yeah.
I agree.
Also, I'm going to make it a point to work the words oogie boogie into every conversation that I have for the next couple of days. I like that one. We're not one of those oogie boogie podcasts. We're storytellers.
No, you guys are not only storytellers, but I think that there's a legitimacy to what you're doing. And I think that it's a benefit to people that are dealing with these situations when you're talking about these things. And there's a lot of historical background in what you guys do, which I really, really appreciate, rather than let's go into this place and not talk about it, but let's see what jumps out at us and let's get EVPs and just figure. You guys have a historical aspect to what you do. And I think you're all about education, which is why I really love, you know, Ghost Hunting New England is I think one of the better and if not the best.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We have the best guests on Ghost Hunting in New England. Well, that's what makes it so
good. We also do. Yeah. And I honestly, I've been saying this online a lot, but I'm saying it now. So episode 1, season 5, I think season 5 is going to be our best season yet. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I really believe that.
Amelia does a lot of work trying to locate and connect with people who are really interesting interviews. And she's got us set up to go to all sorts of interesting places for this season.
Awesome.
So
I think it's going to be our best one yet. I really do. Yeah. I've been working at the store a little less. It's given me more time to focus on this. And I honest to God, I believe season 5, this is it. This is where we hit 1 billion downloads.
Yeah.
1 billion downloads.
Yeah.
And we get nominated for an award.
We get an award.
Yeah.
A big award.
Yeah.
Do they have big podcast awards?
Yeah, they have podcast awards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They must.
The Office Ladies, that podcast, I listen to that sometimes. They got nominated for a podcast award. Ooh. And I'm like, we've been around longer than them. We should we should have been considered as well.
We're as big as Jenna Fisher.
Yeah. And Angela Kinsey.
Yeah.
I'm definitely bigger than Angela Kinsey.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to that one.
I haven't either, but I've heard of it.
Yeah. I listened to My Favorite Murder, though. I love true crime.
I listened to that for a long time.
Yeah.
My Favorite Murder. I listened to that a couple of times. And
Beth doesn't care for it.
You know why I don't like it?
I do.
They swear too much.
Yeah, they swear too much.
They swear too much. And it made it unenjoyable for me to listen to it. And so when Amelia and I kind of conceptualized this show, the only thing that I put out there was, I don't want us to be swearing because I think that it sounds trashy.
Yeah.
Right? And in the rest of my life, I swear like a truck driver.
Swears all the time. Yeah. She does. Yeah. She has a sailor mouth.
Yeah.
But not on here. And yeah. I love that we have kids that listen, you know, young people, because I got really interested in all sorts of stuff like this when I was a young person. And so I'm sure I've said this before, but I'm really glad to be able to bring in new young people to the idea of there are just strange things in the world that happen, and you don't need to be afraid of them.
Just,
right.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
There's lots of different things that happen, and just kind of go with it, you know, learn a little bit about it. And, you know, if you enjoy the oogie boogie, then, you know, go with that too.
But yeah, exactly. Because I think a lot of what you talk about isn't really oogie boogie. It's natural. You know, mm-hmm. when everybody talks about supernatural and all, I don't believe that it's supernatural. I think it's very natural and just not learning to not be afraid of it. Whereas the oogie boogie is where they're trying to make it into some scare tactic thing or something negative or, you know, evil. And it's not, you know what I mean? Which is why I like what you guys do.
We're enjoying it a lot.
And if you find yourself being scared of something oogie boogie, you take a talisman, you put it in a red sack, put it in your pocket, you yep. take it out to the sun, and you charge it on up.
Yep.
So all Absolutely. The different things you can learn here at Ghost Hunting in New England.
You could also, if you are being tormented by an oogie boogie, you could tell your story here on Ghost Hunting in New England.
Send us an email at ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com.
Right. Ooh, you could record yourself in a little voice note on your iPhone and email that right over.
Please keep it under 3 minutes.
Tim, you got anything you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, I guess our shop, Pentagram Shop at 282 Derby, right across from the Old Burial Point and the Witch Trial Memorial in Salem, Mass. And also our website, pentagramsalem.com.
Awesome. And yeah. people can call, they can make appointments to come see you or any of the other talented psychics that are there.
Absolutely. And you can even book online. If you're coming in October or, you know, one of our crazier seasons, definitely book online. It reserves your spot. And then you just walk in 5 to 10 minutes before your appointment and you go right into your appointment. And you can also call us at 978-224-2925.
Can we get awesome. That phone number one more time?
Yep. 978-224-2925.
Awesome.
And you guys do over the phone readings as well if people can't get there in person.
Absolutely. And that is worldwide. We have been reading a lot of people from like Denmark and Switzerland and
I love it.
From England lately too. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
They must have it's fun accents.
Oh, it's sometimes rather difficult to understand, but yeah, no, they're great people. Yeah. We've had some really amazing clients from overseas that have become regulars now too.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being here as always. You know, yes. I feel like it, we can't start without you. You're a show opener. And just like people go to you and are like, we heard you on the show, you're our most talked about guest by far.
Yep.
So by far, not that we don't love all of our other guests and that they're not all amazing, but we do. We get so much feedback about Tim.
Hopefully
so thank you for taking time out of your day to do this for us.
Yep.
Well, I love doing this and you're going to give me a big head. I'm going to be like, wow, I'm the best talker. But I really appreciate it. And I really love talking with you ladies. And I feel super energized after we get off of doing an episode too. So I will love to continue to come back. So please, if you talk about me, keep talking about me. So maybe
we will. Oh, again. Absolutely. We will. Oh yeah. And if anything big happens that you want to talk about, by all means, reach out to us and we'll be like, absolutely. We can do bonus episodes. We can do all sorts of great stuff.
For sure. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, Tim.
Maybe Amelia's next venture that you're talking about is going to be the Tim Regan Experience.
Maybe.
Right? Ooh, very nice.
Maybe.
Yeah. A little museum.
Yeah. So thank you as always. And if you guys want to hear more about Ghost Hunting in New England, please visit our website at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. Reach us out on Instagram at Ghost Hunting in New England. Please follow us on Twitter. We have a lot of Instagram followers, a respectable amount of Facebook followers, and 202 Twitter followers. So please follow us on Twitter. Tell your friends to follow us on Twitter. Just make a Twitter to follow us. We need more Twitter followers, please. Please, so much. And please be sure to leave us a 5-star review. Don't leave us less than 5 stars. That is just rude. If you don't think our show deserves 5 stars, please write us an email at ghosthuntingnewengland@gmail.com and include your drive-by ghostings while you're writing on in.
And when you're in a restaurant, especially if it's a work meeting with coworkers, don't leave with other people's phones. Definitely don't leave with other people's phones.
I mean, to leave with one is inconsiderate, but to leave with two, come on.
It was all sorts of special.
And as always,
happy hunting.